Samaria, Jesus came to a town called Sychar. This town is near the fields that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his long trip, so he sat down beside the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to get some water. Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." This happened while Jesus' followers were in town buying some food. The woman said, "I am surprised that you ask me for a drink. You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. Jews are not friends with Samaritans." Jesus said, "You don't know what God gives, and you don't know who asked you for a drink. If you knew, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water." The woman said, "Sir, where will you get that living water? The well is very deep, and you have nothing to get water with. Are you greater than Jacob, our father? Jacob is the one who gave us this well. He drank from it himself also. His sons and flocks drank from this well." Jesus answered, "Every person who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never be thirsty again. The water I give will become a spring of water flowing inside him. It will give him eternal life."
All throughout February, we're going to be looking at different encounters that Jesus has. So when he meets with people and the kind of conversations he has and what happens to those people. And we're thinking about that because we're Christians, and so we read the Bible and we want to look at these encounters that Jesus has with people and think, what do they say to us? What might God be saying to us through these? Because part of being a Christian is about encountering Jesus. Not just Jesus meeting Jesus in the pages of the Bible, kind of in the history of who Jesus is, but the fact that Jesus is alive and with us now, and we encounter him in our day-to-day life. So this morning's theme is about the woman who meets Jesus at the well, as we've just had in that story. And so the theme I wanted to look at is particularly about water. I wanted to ask a question, if you could help me, to try and think of what are the different uses that we have for water. We've thought about water quite a lot in our quiz, haven't we? What are some of the things that we've mentioned? Yes.
Drinking,
yeah, and it's vital. We need water to stay alive, don't we? So it's really important, yeah.
Cooking,
yeah. We use water cooking if you're boiling an egg or if you're cooking some pasta. All those kind of different reasons we need water, yeah.
Transportation with ships.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Kirsty, have you thought?
We need water for washing.
For washing, yeah. So this morning, we've all used water to wash and clean, and we use it every day, and it's really important. Yes?
To water plants.
To water plants, yes. So all living things need water to grow. I'm saying that, thinking that it's true. I think that's true. Yes?
Can I say this was your, wife's idea? Flushing the toilet.
You know, I was thinking about that, actually, because that's so true, isn't it? This morning, we probably used it for that as well, haven't we? And it's good because it really helps manage our waste. If we didn't have water, we'd be in a mess, yes.
To have water gun fights,
yeah, water fights. That's great, isn't it? Yeah.
We need to have snowball fights.
And snowball fights, I suppose. That's still water, isn't it? Water in a different form, yes.
Wash our cars,
yes. Yeah, so we wash ourselves, but we also wash our cars. Other things as well we wash, aren't they? Like we wash our pots and pans and things like that. We need water, yeah.
Farming,
yes. Water is really important in farming as well, isn't it?
Cooling things down,
yeah, that's true. Water's used as a coolant.
Swimming,
yeah. We can have fun when we go swimming in the water, can't we? There's so many, it's still more. We're still going. Power, yes. We use it to generate power. Yeah. Yeah. Baptism. Ah, good one. I was going to say that one. What do we use water for in church? Baptism. Of course, think about Jesus' baptism. He went down in the water and then came out of the water again, didn't he? And that was full of symbolism. And it's some of that symbolism that we're going to be talking about this morning. Yes.
Running the washing machine.
Running the washing machine, that's true. We need water for cleaning our clothes as well, don't we? And of course, in the olden days, do that maybe down by the river, or you just use a bucket of water and things. So we've got technology, but actually we still use water in much the same way. Yes?
Sea life.
Sea life, yeah. Think about all the life that's in the seas. We talked about the deepest oceans, didn't we? The biggest oceans in our quiz.
Extinguishing fires.
Yeah, that's a good one. I hadn't thought about that. Putting out fires. Yes.
Yep,
going in the shower for cleaning. Yep. Wow, okay. We'll have one. This will be our last one. Otherwise, we're gone forever.
Do we need water for, washing our, face?
Washing our face, yeah, we do. For staying clean. So water, it's not just that water is useful. It's that water is vital, isn't it? It's vital for us to be alive. In the quiz it said, can humans stay alive for a few weeks or a few days without water? We can only stay alive for a few days without water. It's so essential. And we're blessed, really, aren't we, in that we can just turn taps in our house and water's there. We don't think about it very often. But it's a real gift and a real blessing to have water, and we need it. It's vital for our life. So Jesus has this encounter with a woman. And first of all, it's shocking because in that society, men wouldn't speak to women, especially with her kind of woman. It was kind of seen as very taboo. It's something that you shouldn't do is speak. And Jesus just walks up and has this conversation with her. And they start talking about water. Well, they're at a well, so that might be the sort of thing that you have a conversation about. And Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And then the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" She's shocked because she knows this kind of conversation shouldn't be happening. And then Jesus answers her, and this, he takes it in a very different place. He says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." That's not the response she was expecting, I don't think. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also the sons and the flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." That's true, isn't it? If you drink water a few days later, or hours later, you're going to be thirsty again and need some more. "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." What's going on here is that Jesus is talking about one thing, and the woman's talking about another thing. They're kind of talking about the same thing. They're both talking about water, but Jesus is talking about it on a different level. And the woman doesn't quite get it to begin with. She says, "Well, what do you mean? You haven't got anything to draw water." But of course, Jesus isn't talking about literal water. He's talking about something much deeper. He's talking about spiritual water. And in fact, Jesus has just had another encounter with a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes in the night and speaks to Jesus and says to Jesus, "What can I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "What? How can I be born again? I'm a fully grown man. What do you expect me to do? Kind of, you know, how's that going to work?" And it's the same thing where Jesus is talking on one level and Nicodemus is talking on another. They're both talking about being born again, but Nicodemus is taking it literally and Jesus is taking it figuratively. He's trying to get to something deeper and further. It's a bit like we have sayings, don't we? Like we might say, "Hit the ground running." If I was to say to you, "Oh, we need to hit the ground running," and then I saw you kind of thumping the ground, I'd have to say, no, I don't mean we literally need to hit the ground running. I just mean we need to kind of, as soon as we get there, we need to get going with things. Or another example would be if I said, "Oh, she's got a real heart of gold." And you thought, "Oh, that's terrible. You know, how's she going to survive? If her heart is made of gold, it won't work properly." But of course, I'm not saying literally she has a heart made of gold. I'm saying that she's a very kind person or a good person. Or we might say, "It's raining cats and dogs." I say, "Oh, I wouldn't go out there. It's raining cats and dogs." And you thought, "Oh, what? Cats and dogs falling from the sky? That's awful. There'll be mess everywhere. And meow, woof, woof, pff, yeah." But of course, I don't mean it's literally raining cats and dogs. I just mean it's raining a lot. And we use these sayings. In fact, I remember once when I was on holiday with a friend of mine at school, his parents had a static caravan and we went to stay there. And me and my friend were doing the washing up after tea one day. And I was washing up. And I said to my friend, I was cleaning a pan, I said, I don't think this is going to come off the pan, you know, it's not really coming off. And so we said to his mum and dad, oh, this, we can't get this off the pan. And his mum said, oh, why don't you use some elbow grease? And me and my friend were looking through the cupboards for a while, looking at the different things. And then my friend goes back to his mum and dad, oh, we can't find the elbow grease. And his mum and dad were rolling about laughing, and we just didn't understand it. I thought, what, you've told us to use elbow grease? You don't have any elbow grease. Of course, elbow grease just means to work hard. We didn't know that. It just means to work hard. So they were talking figuratively and metaphorically, and we were talking literally. We were thinking they meant literally. So this is the kind of conversation that Jesus is having with this woman. He's trying to get her to think about living water. And I was thinking about water and the different types of water that we might have. And I've got two examples here. So, living water. This was just poured from the tap today. And stagnant water. I wonder if I could have a volunteer to come and taste some water. Anybody want to come? Look at that, hands up straight away. Do you want to come up? So say, Nathan, say if I was to say to you, if you came round to my house and I said, oh, would you like a glass of water? And then I brought out two cups and I'd say, oh, which water would you like? They're both water, but you can choose which one you would like. Which one would you choose, do you think? Why would you choose that one? That one's dirty and it might have a disease. That's very wise. Yeah, that doesn't look very nice, does it? It's got kind of bits floating in it and it's brown and doesn't look very tasty, does it, Ted?
No.
No, we wouldn't like to drink that one.
Oh, that one.
You wouldn't? Well, but look at this one. How would you describe that one, Ted? What does that one look like?
And this one has those black bits.
It doesn't have black bits.
Doesn't have that...
No. Nathan, would you like to taste it and see... Yeah, that one. otherwise, I'll be in trouble. Yes, that one. Taste it and see if you can describe what it tastes like. What is it? Plain. It just tastes plain, doesn't it? Which is what you want from water, really. Like I said in our quiz, pure water is tasteless. Now, on the internet, it described water as... almost tasteless or nearly tasteless, I think, because sometimes it often has a little bit of taste. It might be from the pipes or from the way that the water's been filtered and cleaned, but it's pretty much tasteless, and that's what we want. Thank you, Nathan. You can sit down now. I'm not going to make you drink that one. So there's different types of water, aren't there? We might describe this as living water or fresh water, this one that we can see through, and this one is mucky, isn't it? And the way we describe that is stagnant. Does anyone know what the word stagnant means? Yes, what does stagnant mean, do you think?
I'm not sure, but I think it means like still and rotten and not moving.
Yeah, it means still. Basically, stagnant means still. And it's something without movement. So the difference between these two waters, like on the picture on the screen, you can see the stagnant water isn't moving, and it's got kind of bits floating about in it, and it's not very nice. And that would happen if I left that water, the one that at the moment is pure and clean, if I left that, just left it for days and weeks and months, eventually it would start to look more like this one. Because in order for water to be fresh and to have life and to be good for you, it has to have movement in it. And if movement stops, it becomes stagnant and still, then this happens. It becomes unhealthy and undrinkable. And Jesus says that he will give this woman, and what this woman needs and what we need, is living water. We need water that has movement, like that waterfall, where it's fresh and it's teeming with life and it's moving. And if it stops still, becomes stagnant, then it becomes like this. You don't want to drink it, and it doesn't have life. There's something here in what Jesus is saying about these different types of water to do with the importance of movement. And in fact, Jesus even says, it says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So it's not just water that stays stagnant, it's a spring. It's something that is continuing to flow. And so Jesus isn't talking about literal water. He's talking about something spiritual inside of us. And he's saying that it needs to have movement and life and vitality, and that it needs to be continually being refreshed. Now, when we think about our spiritual life, we think about how we relate to God, how we pray, how we do church. The message from this is that it needs to be living. It needs to have movement. It needs to be new and fresh. Because if it becomes static, then it becomes stagnant. That's where we get the word stagnant, isn't it? And then it becomes unhealthy. So sometimes our spiritual life can look a bit like the picture on the left there. It can look a bit still and a bit stagnant. If your spiritual life is being fed from something that happened to you 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if that was your encounter with God and you're still in that place, then it's going to be stagnant and there isn't going to be life in it. Instead, it needs to be more like that waterfall. It needs to be flowing and new. You should be encountering God in a new way every day. When you step outside and you see something in a conversation that you have with somebody, it needs to be new and refreshed. And as a church, we need to be a church that is fresh and alive and new and that is living, not something that's stagnant. Now, this is a problem in church because one of the things that people like about church is that they like that it's something that stays the same. You know, the modern life is constantly changing. There's technology all over the place. And I want to go to church where it will be exactly the same as it was in 1662. You know, with that same Book of Common Prayer, and nothing will change. And I don't want any of this new stuff. And I want it to be the same. And so people sometimes retreat into churches as a place where they can keep things the same. The problem is that it can become stagnant. It can become, if we leave things the same, it just becomes stagnant. Now, that's not to do with what hymns you use or what liturgy you use, because actually, you can use very ancient liturgy and it can be full of life. But it's to do with whether we stay in the same place. Because God doesn't give us the past to stay in. We can remember the past, but actually, we're given now. And now is full of movement and life and change. And that can be a bit scary, but actually, that's where we've got to be living. So that's what I'd like us to take away from the message this morning. We need living water. We need a living faith. Something that's new and active and alive. Something that's fresh. And we need to attend to that well within us. Maybe for some of us, we've never experienced living water. We've never experienced life with Jesus. We've never really had an encounter. Jesus is something we've read about or heard about, but we've never really tasted that living water. Maybe this morning is the time when you can taste that for the first time. For others of us, it might be that we've had that encounter, but actually it was a long time ago, and we know that we need something fresh. We need that spring inside of us to well up again, to experience God in a fresh and new way for now, not for yesterday or for years ago, but for now, for today. Maybe that's what we need, and that's what I'd like to pray for us right now before we sing again. Lord, we thank you for this story of an encounter that you had with this woman. We thank you, first of all, that you were willing to break the rules of the day and speak to this woman. And that when you spoke to her, you spoke life and kindness. And you invited her to experience living water, life with you. And thank you, Lord, that you invite us to experience that too. Lord, for those of us here this morning who haven't tasted your living water, I pray that you would pour out, even now, you'd pour out your spirit on them. That there would be an openness in people's hearts to receive from you. And that you would give them a fresh taste of your spiritual life, your spiritual reality inside of them. And for those of us who have known you for a long time and who have tasted that in the past, but know that we need that spring, that well, to be opened up again and to flow again. I pray that this morning we will experience that afresh. And Lord, help us individually and as a church to be a place where there is fresh life, where there is vitality. Keep us from being stagnant. Pour your living water into each of us that we may be truly refreshed. And we may never go thirsty, for we have your continual spring of water living in us every day. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.